It's Wednesday, the 22nd of March, and we are the Elite League champions. You're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, you pair of Elite League winning podcasters.
The podcast of the Elite League champions!
Hey!
Yeah.
Total overexcitement as ever from Aaron. I was expecting us to start with a discussion on your bodily fluids as normal. I don't know. What are we going to talk about tonight? There's nothing to discuss. You know, Jay Rosal's had a ban. Devils won the league.
I see they're on ITV Wales and BBC Wales, but I wasn't quite sure. You can't believe everything you read in the paper and see on TV. But I was there.
Yes, the Devils went to Sheffield on Saturday, knowing that a win would guarantee the league. Obviously, that came about because Sheffield very kindly beat Belfast for us on Friday night in what was actually an excellent game. I got the webcast and real end-to-end stuff. Good performance by Sheffield, killing off, I think, four separate occasions of 5-on-3. And then a couple of quick goals in the third, one in the game, leaving the Devils just 2 points from the Holy Grail. Hundreds. Must have been at least 300 fans there, Sean, do you reckon, if not more?
Yeah, probably around that, something like that, yeah.
Good. The whole away end, totally full. Amazing atmosphere to be in. And I think everything was a lot more relaxed than the Sunday when we were there as well, Sean, that knowing that even if we didn't get the job done there, there were still another three games needing just the 2 points.
Yeah, I think everyone went in there quite cool, wanted to do it on Saturday, but knowing that we had a game against Fife and then we just needed to peg Belfast back a little bit. But yeah, it was quite a lighthearted and entertaining trip up, and the guys weren't really tense. You know, in terms of the fans on the bus, everyone was quite relaxed, and that was a nice way to look at it. Because thankfully, as you said, Sheffield did us a favour the night before.
It's always nice when you can say Sheffield does you a favour. I did feel quite dirty cheering for Sheffield goals. it wasn't just I hope they win. There was some proper fist pumping yeses happening as it happened. and anything for the. To get over that finish line. But on to the game. As you said, your massive crowd, you're in really good voice. I think the fact that everyone was a little bit more relaxed, as we said, was always assists with making noise. And Devils couldn't have got off to a better start, Aaron, with less than 30 seconds on the clock and Mark Richardson popping up again to get a goal.
Well, I must say, Paul, it was one of the quickest starts I've seen to a hockey game in a while. Steelers win the draw, come down our end, fluff it up. We bomb up the wing with, I think it was Joey Martin.
Bendable,
yeah. I knew it was Nate, didn't I? Wasn't sure which one. Bendable, slides it across to Andrew Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then back. I did have a few beers, guys, so excuse me. Then slides it over once more to one of our star players, Mark Richardson, which flies it straight into the back in the net, past Moose, and it was Woosh who was behind him. So, and we was 1-0 up on our way to win the league trophy.
Yeah, and really set the tone for that first period, Sean, where the Devils, not totally dominant, but putting another performance. Like those final two periods in the Challenge Cup where the chances just kept coming to us and it was wave after wave of relentless pressure on Sheffield's defence and goalie.
Yeah, and great to get off to the great start that we did. Just worth pointing out that there were very, very heavy doubts before the game started whether Ben Bowens was going to make an appearance after sustaining an injury in the game the Sunday previously. So, to see him skate out in the warm-up, and everyone was still a bit 50-50 on whether he was going to dress. And the Devils sent Murdy out first in the warm-up, which normally indicates that's the guy who's going to get in the cage. And Bounce steps out, fully ready to go, and and we get off to a great, great start, and it just fires us up so good, so much, and we were fantastic in that first period. I feel like only scoring two was, I say going into the first period break with a two-goal lead in Sheffield is disappointing. That's how good we were, because we made 17 shots on target, and from memory, they were all pretty good. You know, we had a lot of high-scoring, you know, high percentage scoring chances, and only managed to convert two, but we absolutely hammered them in that first period.
Indeed, and you know, you said 17 shots, and you know, the main reason that scoreline wasn't higher was Moose, as he did in the Challenge Cup against us, and as he had done, stopping 50 out of 52 shots the night before in Belfast, had yet another great game, and you know, was equal to everything that we could throw at him after that Mark Richardson, you know, early opener. But Sheffield, you know, suffered a bit of penalty trouble through the period, but Jace Coyle takes a 2-minute interference penalty with 12 minutes gone, and then just under a minute later, Rod Saric takes a hooking penalty to leave the Devils with a 5-on-3 opportunity for a full minute. You've already mentioned that Sheffield had killed four of these the previous night. But a beautifully worked play from Joey Haddad to Joey Martin finds Patrick Astley, you know, all alone at the back door, Moose on the wrong side of the net. You know, it wasn't there was never going to be saved, and Astley just buries the puck to make it 2-0. And really sort of put a bit of belief into the fans. You know, as we said, they were chilled, but it was when that second goal went in and we were playing so dominant that I really started to think that could be the night, and just a perfect systems goal show.
Yeah, and your perfect power play goal, tic-tac-toe. We worked it at speed. I think the initial play, I think Joey Martin fired a shot high and wide, rung it round, Hotham keeps it in, finds Martin again on the at the point, and just a perfect tic-tac-toe goal. And Hotham sort of drags, I think it was DBM was killing the penalty, and he sort of drags him out, leaves Aslin all alone, and 5-on-3, a guy like Aslin, he's been so good this year, you're never going to miss a chance like that to double your lead.
Yeah, and if I could get myself there, I think it's one of those goals that you back just about anyone to score. The pass was that good that the stick was in the right place, and
yeah,
you know, it's just pointing it in the right direction, and 2-0. Thank you very much. So as Sean already said, period finished at 2-0. You're potentially flattering to the Steelers. But the scoreline got a lot more flattering for them at the start of the second, with Guy Doucette taking was this the awful, awful call that was made, Sean? Because
yes, it was a stick-on-stick battle for the puck. Guy Doucette's stick sort of rode up the stick. Oh, I forget who it was, but it was a perfectly good 50-50 puck battle. The stick went up towards the opposing player's hand, and he gave a slashing penalty. But absolutely dreadful call.
Yeah, the stick left the Steelers' hand, but Doucette's stick was on the ice as they made contact. So how that could be called slashing, have no idea. And just 21 seconds into that power play, Ben O'Connor takes advantage of a massive screen on Ben Bounds from Andrew Hotham to squeeze the puck in the net. And, you know, Steelers were right back in the game at that stage. And, you know, could have been the time to wobble, but, you know, too many men call just a minute later, sort of, whilst the Devils didn't score on the power play opportunity, Sean, it just brought momentum back to the Devils a little bit.
Yeah, we pinned them in the zone. We had a good couple of shots, worked hard, created some good speed, and didn't really let the Steelers get back in the game. And I think we were brilliant through the second period as well.
Through the second, and yeah, that brilliance told 14 minutes through the period on another power play. Colton Fretter this time with a roughing call when Joey Martin hammers home a rebound off the crossbar from Andrew Hotham's shot to re-establish that two-goal lead. Sure.
Yeah, Andrew Hotham does. I think Andrew Hotham might have drawn the penalty as well, if I remember correctly. And Hotham does his trademark thing. Stands in the slot. The defenseman backs off him. He just drifts into the slot, and this wrist shot that Hawthorn has from the slot on a power play is absolutely lethal. Doesn't quite get it in the net, but the bounce it takes off the pipe is literally perfect, and it bobbles up over the defenseman, straight under the stick of Joey Martin, who buries it and restores that lead.
And probably a closer period that time, but still Devils well worth their two-goal lead at the end of it.
Yeah, definitely. Well worth... I thought we were excellent and well worthy of the lead going into the second period break, and it seemed a fair sort of representation of what had happened in the game, in the sense that Sheffield were collapsing and their netminder was absolutely on fire. If it wasn't for the netminder, the game would have been over in the first period, but he kept them in it and gave them a chance to still be in with a chance of winning it going into the third.
Yeah, and going into the third with a two-goal lead, Aaron. Yeah, how were you feeling at that time? You know, we had been the dominant team, but you know, a two-goal lead, you know, is nothing in Sheffield, is it?
Not at all. You know, they were one of the best teams we've seen this year, and they can score at any time on any team. So, going into that third period, I was a nervous wreck, like I was from 4 o'clock in the morning previously, and it was just a nightmare of a game, you know. We played so well, we dominated, we played absolutely fantastic, and it didn't look like we were slowing down. But I just had that niggling feeling that because there's so much riding on it and so much could happen or won't happen, it was just, how I didn't throw up is beyond me. But we went to the third period, and what do you know? The Italian, the Mario lookalike, the phenomenal athlete that is Sean Bentivoglio skates into the shot, shoots just inside the blue line, an absolute bullet. I mean, it was like a 50 cal, one of them big sniper
Barrett
things.
A Barrett 50 cal.
You could tell you played Call of Duty, Sean. it was like that. How he didn't put an all through the net and the glass behind me is beyond me, because I didn't see the puck leave his stick, or I didn't see it bounce off the net. All I seen was the light go on and me down my pint and fall down the gap between the seats and the thing. And it hurt.
That gap is dangerous. I did that the previous week. And
I was there for about 5 minutes.
I've fallen on my
I could just imagine that. a flailing Aaron.
I am gutted that we weren't sat quite as close together enough to just point and laugh at you from that. Sean, you know, huge to get that goal. A 3-1, I felt that the next goal was going to be crucial, and that Sheffield got it. It could have given him the lift, and you know, maybe the Devils would have had their eyes on the bigger prize and started to seize up and start to panic, but Bentivoglio, absolute bullet, as Aaron said.
Yeah, I felt that at 4-1 we were safe, to be quite honest with you, and I felt like we were going to be safe unless Sheffield scored within the next sort of 6 minutes, and you know within that sort of first 10 minutes of the third period, and it took them until 12:03 to pull one back with Jeff Walker off a one time from Ben O'Connor, and again we just didn't let anything go. We were the first to every puck. We won all our battles. We forechecked hard. We put Sheffield under a lot of pressure. Still got pucks deep, and we were just awesome.
We were, and you know, it just that pressure tells. And you know, it's when teams are that relentless is when you see the calls against you being the hookings, interferences, tripping, where players are just doing anything they can to slow you down, to pull you back, and that tells with John Armstrong taking his tripping call. A 13-17, and just led to the chance for the Devils to get their third power play of the night. You have 3 power play goals off 6 opportunities is an unreal return. Yeah. But you're absolutely fittingly, you know, the guy that's coached us to our first league title in 20 years. You've stood in front of Moose, guessed the tip off an Andrew Hotham shot to absolutely send it beyond that. I know you said you felt comfortable at 4-2, but you know, it's one of those. There was 8 minutes left when we scored. There was still 6.5. If Sheffield had got a goal, it's a one-goal game for 5 minutes, and that's anyone's. But at 5-2, nearly all of my nerves and doubts had left me. And you know, You couldn't have chose a better player to get a goal on the night, though, Aaron.
Definitely not. Like you said, Paul, he's the one that brought this franchise, along with a couple of others, to where it is. He's the one that wears that badge on the front for the club. He's the one that does so much for his team and does everything right. Not, I get, like other coaches, he's never got an excuse, and he always finds himself in that position to score goals, assist on goals, fight if he has to. He is literally, for a guy, you know, who's one of the older in the one of the older players in the team, he plays like he's just started, and he just, you can tell he loves the Cardiff Devils and loves his sport. And
yeah,
it's just fitting that a player like that gets a key goal in a key game to win us our first league title in 20 years.
Yeah, he is. He is the Cardiff Devils. He epitomises what it is to be a Cardiff Devil. He just has that fire in his belly that just wants this club to be so big and be the place to play. And he's made it as a coach. He's made it as a player that way. And there's no one who, there's no player within the organisation that loves it as much as Andrew Lord.
100%. And just something Aaron said there just reminded me, for years and years as a fan, through some of the really dark times, you always, you know, fans went on and on. We want players who play the Cardiff Devils way. And I don't know, possibly to you as well, Sean, it just felt like a myth. We saw the odd player, you know, in our time through the Elite League that played in this mythical Cardiff Devils style, fleetingly perhaps. But if you ever wanted to point at someone and say, a Cardiff Devils player, you know, the Devils way, it's that man, it's Andrew Lord. He gets what it is to be a Cardiff Devil. He gets what the fans want to see. And he goes out there and he delivers it night after night. And it's, and when you put that on top of, you know, the off-ice work he does, the coaching, the players, you know, everything that he puts into the team, it's absolutely unreal.
Yeah, of course it is. And you say that there was a, we saw sort of glimpses of players like that. You know, you look at the way that Tyler Michelle played, a proper Cardiff Devil, but then burnt all his bridges and had that sort of legacy to leave. And a guy like Derek Campbell, I think, played like a real Cardiff Devil, whose injury was unfortunately cut short. And but that, yeah, you couldn't ask for a more perfect way to describe a Cardiff Devils player as Andrew Lord. And that's the guy that you want leading your team. You want him going to war with the guys. You want him building a team that's going to play the way that he plays. And I couldn't be happier for him to get a goal like that. And you just saw the joy on his face. He scored the goal. He went straight to the dot on the face-off circle, stood dead, looked at the fans, and raised his arms. And it was almost biblical. That there was the Lord. There's the Lord. Look at what he's done. He's brought it to everyone. And I couldn't have asked for a more fitting person to score a goal in a game like that.
Yeah, no, but he shouldn't have played at all towards the end of the season. He should have been bench coach, shouldn't he?
Yeah, let me go and find my words in the fridge because I really need to eat them.
We have already held up our hands and admitted that we were totally wrong, but you know, it's good to see just that little bit more of a kick into our words, and long may it continue. Long may it continue. At 5-2, you know, she said Devils look comfortable, but you know, there was still time for Ben Bams to, who had a fantastic game, as Sean mentioned earlier, but to pull off the save of the night. Nelson found at the back door and shoots the puck, and for all the world it's going in. I think so, the angle from where we were watching in the Devils block, you were looking behind the puck into the net, the line it was going, and it was going straight in that net, and all of a sudden Ben Bams' glove appears from nowhere and the puck disappears. And just summed up the night, you know, it would have given Sheffield a glimmer. It probably wouldn't have been enough anyway, but Bams was more than equal to it. And, you know, just one more thing to say how, you know, everyone did their job on the night, and, you know, Bams more than did his, but that was the standout moment from Ben Bams. And then sort of led to Sheffield pulling Moose to try and get the game back. You know, a bit of an Andrew Lord move going early. Scott Hotham sitting a tripping call with 3.5 minutes left, and you know, Sheffield tried to make the most of it with a 6-on-4. But Patrick Bordeler with, Devils had a one or two pops at net already.
Was it not 6-on-3 at that time?
I think it was, yeah. He was on a 5-on-3 and they pulled the goalie.
It was only
they had a couple of seconds.
In 7 seconds, a 6-on-3 before your Devils got back to four men. So the majority of that play was was played with as a 6-on-4. Your Devils had a couple of, obviously being shorthanded, you can just shoot from wherever you want on the ice without risking an icing. I think we had one that looked like from our vantage point that it might have gone in that went wide. Another couple stopped, but when Patrick Bordeleau saw the puck loose and dived forward and the one handed it up the ice, it wasn't certain to go in from our angle, I don't think, but you're watching the replay, it was almost dead centre, but the second that puck crossed the line was something
euphoria.
Else.
Euphoria.
Every missed opportunity, every near miss that we've had, all of that just disappears. And it was, seeing the Devils win Challenge Cups a couple of times, obviously just a couple of weeks ago. But when that puck went in, it was something else, and just such a special moment, Sean.
It really was. Just such a special moment to be in, just to witness it. Like you said, so many near misses of and heartbreak of playoff games and that elusive year that we had a world record, and I think Sheffield were playing up in Braehead and we needed Braehead to nick a point off them, and it couldn't be done, and they ended up winning on regulation wins, and that was heartbreaking. The last game where Sheffield won it in their home building 2 years ago, and just the collapse of last season, and to just see it all be completely forgotten and to experience it. Paul, you and I were stood next to each other, and it was the best day, the best night, the best moment, the best feeling I've ever had in my life.
It was
unreal,
just unbelievable. And Aaron, you said that I didn't see anything. I'd already lost my mind, but Patrick Bordeleau lying on the ice celebrating was sort of your takeaway moment from that.
Yeah, I watched the puck travel into the net, and I looked down at the ice to see Patrick Bordeleau lying on the ice, giving her the old fist bump. It looked like he was looking in our direction towards the fans, and for a player like of that caliber to score yet again another key goal, and to think of the fans, not just the players and thing and stuff, it just proves how much this trophy doesn't mean just to the players, to the club. It means a lot to the fans, and the fact that the players acknowledge that is that one step better than
really. Yeah, 100%. You just feel that buy-in is there right across the club. The club talk about how much the fans matter, and you can just see that's in the players. And it's not to say that other clubs don't do the same. It really has felt like sort of one big entity the last couple of years. And it's awesome that when you see little things like that, and the way the players after the game,
even before the end of the game, Paul, just to touch on the fans were unbelievable in our last period. All through the game, I thought the fans were excellent, but in the third period, they really, really brought it. And the video captured by Frozen Steel Night Live of the literally we chatted up on about it off here. You couldn't be further away from the away box in that, and all you can hear is "Don't take me home," and it sounds unbelievable.
And even when there was a break in play while the video was being recorded, and still even with the music playing, "Don't take me home," here, just as clearly as the music being piped right above the head of the person recording it. And absolutely excellent from a Sheffield Steelers fan to think, I'm going to stand here in my own barn and record the last minute of a game of one of our biggest rivals winning the league on our home ice, just so the fans can watch it back and enjoy it, is something special. And if you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out. It's been retweeted by just about every Devils fan I follow, I think, at one stage or another. So it should be on your timeline somewhere.
We'll retweet it as well when this episode goes up.
Yes, yeah, definitely. But again, thank you to, I don't actually know the person behind Frozen Steel, Night Live or whatever it's called. It's not that.
That would be Alan Claringbold.
Thank you very much to Alan. And a good service to follow games that, you know, where Sean can't be bothered to do a Red Army Rounder. Red Army. what do we call them? I can't even remember what we call it. Play by play. That's what it's called.
Jesus. RAR play by play.
I'm still obviously feeling the effects of winning the league on the weekend.
Yeah. Just worth noting as well, before we go on to the players after the game as well, that the way that the Steelers organisation handled it was pure class.
100%, 100%. And
They cop a lot of sticks, so it's only right that we give them credit with it when it's due.
Massive, you know, the fans started walking out and, you know, I think a couple of, you know, the stewards said, no, there's stuff going on back inside, and you know, let all the fans go back in, and just had all that time to let the players come out from the dressing room. Yeah, there's been a lot of stick. Adam Keefe's been particularly upset that the Devils weren't given the trophy. Understanding is, from what the Steelers have announced, is that the cup was available to the Devils, but they chose to do it on home ice. You have to wait to see, as you know, the 20-year wait to have as many fans as possible. See the moment the trophy got lifted. I didn't care less whether there was a trophy there or not. No, it was just the fact that we'd won the league. Mm. So whilst we do look at the game, sort of worth noting that it was Lane Ullman that sat and didn't travel with the team, with his wife having given birth in the week. So congratulations to the Ullmers, obviously. But just a little bit sad that, you know, he couldn't be there, even, you know, as a healthy, even if he was a healthy scratch, to enjoy that with the team. But obviously, you know, bigger priorities when you've recently become a father. And yeah, as you said then, you know, Devils were given time on the ice after the game. Obviously with a bounds wave, Jake Morissette lifting an inflatable trophy. And then again, we go back to the passion of Andrew Lord, but the speech from him, Sean, just sums up, you know, that he gets it. He gets what it means.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a video of it as well. And he talks about the change in it and being in the blue tent where you look into this black floor, no paint, no character, a team with no identity, a team dying. And in 3 years to come to this, and 3 years sounds like an awfully short amount of time, but so much work has gone into this club in that time. And to the people who've put the work in, it probably feels like years and years in the making. And Andrew Lord totally gets it. And the fans who were there and who've seen the video will know just what it means to him. And the guys all came out and chanted, and it was very, very special, and quite an intimate sort of half an hour where the team was sort of dripping out of the changing room, and then to have them all there and have Lord say a few words to the fans who travelled up was definitely something. It's just a night to remember and something which I'll never forget.
100%. Aaron, you know, to you as well. You know, what was your thoughts on the cup not being lifted? Was it something that bothered you, or did you think it was the right decision to hold off?
I wasn't particularly bothered by it. I can understand why we didn't, obviously, because 3,000 home fans is better than a couple of hundred to witness a truly amazing moment. But I think this is just a personal opinion. I would have liked it to be lifted in Sheffield, just because, although I was still in awe and amazed that we won the league on Sunday, I felt that not a celebration, but I felt it could have been just, I think it would have felt a little bit more special and better if we did do it in Sheffield. Not because, you know, we won it in Sheffield, just the fact that, because the moment we won it, like, for me, all season, I've been the type of person, I don't believe we won the league until the cup, until Jacob lifted the cup in the air. So for us to win it on the Saturday, but not be able to lift it the Sunday, I was like, is this a dream? Did we do it? Is it real? So I would have preferred to, just for that reason, to have it in Sheffield, but it didn't bother me. I drank champagne. And I enjoyed it that way.
I think it's worth pointing out as well that on Saturday, you didn't have Lane Elmer there, who's been such a massive, massive part in getting us that far. And although you'd have been gutted to miss out on being there when it actually happened, the team didn't want to do it for, they wanted to bring it home to the fans, bring it home to a guy who's been into, gone into war with them all year. And it lets everybody just, not only just, like Jake Morissette is our captain, and whether he wears a suit or a jersey, he's our captain. But for him to get suited up at the home game and be in his colours to lift the trophy, and I think the club went about it in the perfect way.
Yeah, and you know, even the little touches, which we'll obviously come on to, but if you're having a guy like Neil Francis present the trophy, who's you've done so much for Devils over the years, obviously not been involved with the team, you know, side of things this year, but still an integral part of the club, and you know, Mr. Cardiff Devils for so long. So you know, even little things like that. You know, I'd rather have a trophy presented by Neil Francis than Tommy Smith, you know, any day of the week. That's not even being disrespectful to Tommy Smith, of which there have been a number of times where it's been possible this season. But again, credit to Sheffield for the way they held it. But something that we haven't mentioned, and I am going to mention, because Aaron mentioned it, just how sweet was it to do in Sheffield? Like, you know, we've said how classy they were, and you know, the video being put up, you know, Sheffield did a highlights package of the celebrations for the fans. That is, you know, absolutely top class, you know, amazing work. But they have been our biggest rivals over the last couple of years, and possibly forever. You know, there was quite a long run where it was Coventry. I know, Sean, you know, you've always seen Coventry as our bigger rivals.
Up until when they became irrelevant a couple of years ago, but it still feels sweeter to beat them.
Yeah. But, you know, for older fans, for newer fans of only the last couple of years that have seen us battling out on the top, Sheffield are just huge rivals, and you're a place that historically we don't do well in. It's a bit different this year. We've won 4 out of 5. Oh, that feels so sweet to say. But to win the league in Sheffield is...
Say it again. Just one more time. Paul, please, just one more time.
We won the league in Sheffield.
Thank you.
And just putting it away, like the people that we travel with as a group, we don't all sit together at home, but we were able to be together in Sheffield, which, you know, meant a lot to me as well. But
yeah.
Sorry, I really didn't mean that to sound quite as dickish as it did, but I did enjoy where we won it. And we'll move on to possibly the least relevant Cardiff Devils game ever on Sunday night, Sean.
Oh, I don't know. I think the third, fourth place games at the playoffs for the last however many years has been held have been less relevant than that.
The least relevant league game the Devils have ever played. I do totally agree that third, fourth place sham is the worst thing that happens.
But do we really talk about it that much? Tom really got the start. Nope. We played well.
I did enjoy the fact that even though... it was a nothing game to us, that Tommy Muir decided to have a dig at Andrew Lord, and Patrick Bordolo instantly took exception and ran through him.
What a beautiful hit.
What a beautiful hit, which is somehow called charging, but never mind. But my favourite thing about that was that the puck got whistled dead in, you know, our zone. Patrick Bordolo lined up on the opposite side from Tommy Muir, back on defence, and pointed at him to say, "I'm coming for you." And what was the first thing Fife did as soon as they won the face-off? Pass the puck to Tommy Muir. And Bordolo just started for him. And you just thought, oh my God, he's going through him. And maybe it was charging because he took such a big run-up. I thought he'd slid into the hit. But it was a game that the Devils didn't have to win. And you know, we were able to say, you ain't doing that to our coach. And what a hit from Bordolo. And Andrew Lord then ends up absolutely nailing someone after a... another dig at him off the ice. And again, Devils say, well, we don't need to win this game. We're not having, you know, coming here and being dicks. So it's Andrew Lord after the game who said, I was a bit tetchy in that game. And yes, it showed in that first period. So and the first period was a lot more entertaining than I expected it to be.
Yeah, the game, it was so, so good. I really enjoyed the first period, actually.
And the game just petered out then with the Devils getting goals.
Left, right and centre.
Yeah, Tom Murdy having an absolutely cracking game, 30 saves off 31 shots. Obviously getting the start with Bams, obviously still feeling the effects of the injury. Great to see Moody get a good 60 minutes and play so well. Some of the saves he made was fantastic. A really nice spread of goals. We scored 12 goals over the weekend, and Patrick Aslin was the only guy to get two. We had 11 goal scorers over 12 goals, which just shows the depth that the team's got, and great to see so many. We won 6-1. That was it.
Then came the fun.
Then the real stuff started. Just to see that trophy being lifted on our home ice was, I was emotional on Saturday night and thought Sunday is just, it's just doing it. It's the, I don't think the word, it's just the circumstances around it. You have to do it at the end. But to see the cup go up in the air was, a really emotional moment and, a massive thing, Sean.
Yeah, and Paul, you and I have watched this for long enough to get, everyone was emotional about it, I think. And like Aaron said earlier, it until the cup goes up in the air, it hasn't happened. And yeah, we were there on Saturday night, and just being there to witness it was incredible and something I'll never ever forget. But watching the trophy presentation and for it to finally go above our captain's head was just unbelievable. And speaking about it now, I'm literally, the hairs on the back of my neck are standing up because it was so awesome. And it meant so much to everyone there, the players, the fans, the management, everyone, from the top down. And to see the look on people's faces as it went up was awesome. Absolutely unreal feeling.
And Aaron, great to see all of the all the players being able to go around the ice, and probably going back to it, it would have been great to see it Saturday, but it meant that the players were able to go around, do a full lap of their own rink with fans all the way around them, and just great to see everyone getting so involved and what it meant to each and every one of the players.
Exactly, Sean, at Paul. Although, like I said, for certain reasons, I would just like to see us lifted in Sheffield. The fact that the players got to parade the trophy round to all us fans and show to us what it meant to them, and for them to give us a little salute as a thank you for being such one of the best fan bases in the league. It was just something special, and it's something I'll never forget. I just want to touch on, winning this league trophy was the biggest thing this club has done. Not one of the biggest things that this club's done this year, but the fact that Lord took his shirt off, a shirt on his back, and had that Machka shirt underneath. I think that's the biggest accomplishment this league, this team has done this year. And for Lord to be still, this team still to be able to think about that and put that first before the league. Well, not first, but you know what I'm saying. It was just it was another special touch on such an amazing season that put the club on the map. And it was just this trophy was a tribute to the fans, but it was also kind of a tribute to Scott Matska in the fact that he was part of the world record team. He didn't get to do it. We done it. And it was kind of for him as well. That's my take on it. It probably was him, but
I'm really glad you mentioned that, Aaron, because it was an absolutely awesome moment to see that, and the fact that Lord had done that to show the respect to Scott and the family. And your point about the biggest thing this team's done this year is that Matska game event week. 100% agree, and it puts everything into perspective. But it's so good that we were able to do it this year. And then still on a Scott in the way that Lord did when he went up to do his shot of his back presentation. It was really, really, really good to see. I just want to talk about it more and more. And it was Sean talk, so I just want to sit here and think about it, if I'm honest.
It really was an awful podcast. yeah, it was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable weekend. I went into work Sunday morning, bright and early, with the biggest smile on my face you could imagine. All sorts of things were going wrong in work, and I just smiled through it all. Things like this don't happen every day, and only one team can win the league every year. We haven't done it for a long time, and it's the first time I've seen us win it, and I just can't describe quite what it means. And these players will go down as heroes and as legends. You'll remember every single name of this team. You'll never forget any of them. You'll never forget what number they wore, what position they played, their name, nothing. You'll just remember everything, all the moments, all the goals, all the big things they did, the matchka, everything like that. This team has just got character in spades, and that's why they've done what they've done this year, been so successful. And the club is at its best. It's got a winning mentality. I feel like we've got one under the belt, and we have that experience. We've won a league trophy. That is that massive, massive burden off our shoulders, and hopefully it'll just keep on rolling, and we can keep doing it. And what more can I say? It was special, and to be part of the team of volunteers at our match nights and be able to join the team in the trophy winning picture was also something very special, and ultimately just what a weekend to remember forever.
Myself as well, obviously one of the match night volunteers. Such a huge thank you to Todd Kelman and the club for doing that, and for sort of showing the appreciation of, a group of people who, put in a lot of time and effort. Everyone else, obviously me and Sean, just doss around a little bit. it was like just such a special moment as well. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Even when we were asked to go down the bench, I just expect to have a photo stood on the bench, and for Todd to call everyone on the ice was amazing.
And great for the trophy to be taken up to the bar as well, and for the fans to experience it. I think from recent memory, I think when Nottingham won it, they took it out onto one of the balconies of one of the suites in the arena. And this club is listen, we're not Sheffield. We don't have a big arena. We're not Nottingham. We don't have a big arena. We don't quite have we're up there with the budget, but we don't have the resources that this team has, and the back office staff. But it's a family club. It's not just a family club. It is a family, and all the fans were made to be part of it, and the club just did it so wonderfully, and can't thank them enough for that, and in valuing the fans and taking the trophy up, letting people drink from it. I bet that there were lips all over that, all over the Monteith Bowl on Sunday night.
Boots probably saw a rocketing cold sore creams and similar on Monday. And hangover cures on Monday, and for my part, because that was the best. It was probably the best night I've ever had in a hockey rink. But you always used to talk about the Gretzky's bar and the old ice rink, and the tent was never able to really live up to that with the way the bar was built. But it was such a good night. Sending up with the players coming up. You're happy to have photos with everyone, kids going around getting autographs, getting photos, and grown-ups doing all of that as well. But as Sean said, you're such a family atmosphere there. You had Todd Kelman murdering Don't Take Me Home on the microphone. You think you'd have learned the words by now, but you almost got that right. Fanny and Chris Agland murdering Queen on the microphone. What sort of idiot would try and sing Queen after winning a trophy on a microphone? May have tried it after the Challenge Cup, if anyone has had the great pleasure of avoiding any of the videos that we're doing the rounds. Just unreal. But going back to having the monkey off the back and getting that title under the belt, the club are going to be looking at doing it again. But it really is quite Moorish, isn't it, Aaron? I could really do it again. I could go for another one.
If you see me, the way I eat food, I'm a very greedy person. So, I'm happy with the league title. I was happy with the Challenge Cup, but I can't help but feel a little bit disappointed if we don't get the other two boys. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I do want the other two. There's only really one that I want, but It'd be silly not to get them all. It'd just be careless almost. So That's just a point against. We'll pretend we're doing a normal podcast and preview this weekend. We're playing Belfast Saturday and Sunday. If we get a point, we win the conference. That's it. That's the reviewer next week. Then let's talk about winning the league some more, guys.
Paul, I'll query for you both, actually. What has, in your opinion, been different about this year that's got us over the line, whereas in the last 2 years we've come short? What's been the difference? And just put your try and put your finger on what's been the difference this year.
Mine is overtime wins. The fact that we've gone to away rinks or at home, you know, not played great first 2 periods, first 55 minutes, come out strong in the last 10 minutes and winning games and getting the points, the 1 point or the 2 point games where you didn't look like we was coming to do it. We haven't been able to do that in the last 2 years. And I think that is the difference. You know, if you, our regulation wins, I think Belfast and Sheffield are just the one behind us. So the extra 8 or 9 points have come from somewhere. So them regulation, overtime wins and the single points that we've taken from games that we didn't deserve to have anything from is where I think this season's different from others.
No, I think you're right. That's definitely one of the things. We've had 10 games go to overtime and we've won 7 of them. Yeah, that's a massive thing, but you're on the other side. We've had 10 games go to overtime. We've only lost 9 games in regulation. So we've had more games equal at the end of 60 minutes than losing at the end of 60 minutes. And it's all of that. And I think, you know, the overtime wins has been huge. As Aaron said, that is practically the points difference. But for me, I think that's a symptom of what really is, and it's the fact that we signed winners this year. We signed players that knew how to go out there, how to take a team to a championship, how to drag a team that's maybe had, as Aaron said, 2 poor periods. You know, you look at Nottingham when we were three goals behind in the third and won it in overtime. Games like Brayhead where refereeing decisions could have got the team down and we still drag it out and win that one on a shootout. It's guys like Lane Ulmer, Sean Medvolio, Scott Hotham. You've come in with a big history of winning. You know, they know how to do it. And I think just having that older core of players, you know, we are still a young team, but we're not as young as we have been the last 2 years. And I think just having those slightly older hands, those possibly slightly more level-headed players, has been the difference. You know, and that's not to take away from anyone else on the team, you know, but I think it has been a difference. And I think the way that Bentivoglio and Ulmer, especially, have grown since Christmas, that's players used to going deep in the stretch. You know, they're used to turning it on when it matters. And boy, have they turned it on. I think, Aaron, what was it 31 points from Lane Ulmer since Christmas?
Since Christmas, yeah. And that was accumulating something like at least half were goals, I think, as well. Like that.
What a return. And you know, that's clutch. And you know, they had a slow start. You know, it was, they admitted they had slow starts, probably, you know, adjusting to new leagues, but they came good. And for me, that's the big difference between this year and the last 2 seasons. Sean, throwing your question back at you.
I've all had all that time to think about it, and you changed my answer and then I changed it back to what it originally was. I just think depth this year. I just think that you look at Joey Martin last year, was led the league in points, did everything, and this year he's at top of my head, I don't know, but I think he's like seventh or eighth,
sixth, I believe. There's 4 Scottish players and Matthew Roy above him.
Yeah, and Joey Martin hasn't done it all this year. I say he's done it all. He's been excellent all year, but he hasn't been the only one doing it all. When we needed to win games, Joey Martin wasn't the only player who was trying to pick the team up by the scruff of his neck. But I also think that also comes down to what you said, Paul, and the fact that we've signed game winners. We've signed vets. Look, Scott Hotham has flown under the radar this year. He's been absolutely immense for us this year. I don't think he's had a bad game, but all through the lineup. You just look at the guys who work so hard and were brought in to do a specific job. David Bryan has been excellent on the penalty kill. Absolutely worked his socks off. Doesn't have the best skill set, but just works his absolute nuts off. Same as Luke Piggott, Chris Jones, guys like that. And then you've got the skill that Ulmer, the sniping that Ulmer's brought in the last, like you said, since Christmas with Ben Davolio has been immense. Patrick Asselin just doing a bit of everything, scoring penalty shots. And just little things. We just upgraded in all the small areas where it matters. And I think another key addition, Matthew Myers, bringing in an experienced Brit like that. You look at the comeback in Belfast when we were 3-0 down in the third period. And Joey Haddad mentioned in an interview with Ice Time TV that Matthew Myers stood up and said a few words. And Matthew Myers is a winner. And we just got so much character in this group that there was no way that we couldn't win the league title, to be quite honest with you, because it's just full of characters. And you've got that core that's been with us for a year. They know what the Devils is about. And then you mix that blend together and you get league champions.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned Matthew Myers, because talking about bringing in vets who know how to win things, for me not to mention him is a massive oversight. But you know, almost think of him as part of the furniture, even though he's not, as you know, we've just had him back this year. But you know, massive. And a guy that, it's 7 out of 8 Challenge Cups he's won, and of the last 8 Challenge Cups, you know, that's a guy that knows how to do it in big games. And, you know, as you said, did it in, you know, part of that one in Belfast, and all through the season, the comeback wins have been amazing. There's loads of stuff that I think we probably could discuss, rumours around import reductions, roster reductions, but I think that's for another week.
Yeah, who cares? Let's still talk about this year.
But let's just have a very quick mention of the other one that we want. We've said what we need to do for the conference. Got the playoffs coming up. And as we're recording, Manchester have just beaten Nottingham in Nottingham, which has put them level on points with Coventry and above them on regulation wins. So I think Nottingham, Manchester are home to Nottingham, and Sheffield are in, and Coventry are in Sheffield, both on Sunday. So, you know, unless Coventry can get at least a point off Sheffield, or they've got to get more than Manchester do on Sunday. Otherwise, the Devils will be facing Manchester in our playoff quarterfinal. And another trip.
Guys, I just forgot.
What?
We won the league and we qualified for the Champions Hockey League.
We hadn't even spoken about the Champions Hockey League.
God, it's almost like we want to keep talking about this league title and keep dragging it out.
As we do, just keep bringing it back. We keep bringing it back. Huge to get into the CHL. You know, those of us who have the misfortune of being around Devils fans who've been for fans for a long time do like to mention the European trips. You know, Tilburg is a place that almost gives me nightmares. I've heard it mentioned so much. But, you know, a whole new fan base gets to do it, and gets to do it up to 3 times. There's, you know, the Devils are in a group of 4 for the first time with the CHL restructures. There'll be 3 trips. You know, and it's looking like possibly Scandinavia, and then you've got Germany, Austria, Czech Republic,
Prague, and Switzerland.
The way that they're all, the seeds are worked, is looking like it'll be teams from those areas that we'll be drawn with, and just amazing. And, you know, we had the, you know, pleasure of playing, you know, 2 top European teams this year, Banska Bystrica and Zagreb from the KHL. And, you know, it was good to test ourselves against them, Sean, but to do it in a real competitive game, it'll be really interesting to see, you know, where we are as a team, as a league.
Yeah, and I can't wait. I genuinely can't wait. My wallet is not looking forward to it, but I wouldn't miss it for the absolute world. And I hope we get to go to some great places. And I hope we go to places where we can compete. I'd like to go to Flunder, obviously, because of the standard and the level that they play at is unbelievable. But I also don't want to really go and see us get pumped and pay a fortune to do it. But it's a place you'll never go otherwise. Where's top of your list, Paul? Where would you like to go?
I you know, I've looked at the teams that have already qualified. You've mentioned Prague. I've seen the names of the teams from the Czech Republic. I don't know if any of them are based in Prague. I love Prague. I'd like to go there. I know Munich have already qualified, which is a place I'd quite like to do at least one sort of European trip in and around sort of the Germany, Czech Republic, you know, maybe Switzerland area. You know, the possibility of that being a Red Army travel bus trip is quite an appealing one. That would be quite an exciting thing to do. Take a bus over there rather than, you know, all this flying malarkey. Let's do it. Let's do it like it's a normal road trip. maybe we'll check the hotel at the end though, rather than doing it as a round one.
Aaron, you going?
I might dabble. I might. you might see me pop up in a foreign country a few times. But I'm well up for it. We've always, last couple of years, we've talked about you know, going away and doing something like this. So the fact that we get the opportunity to do it as a fan base and, you know, our little posse.
Yeah, just looking at the teams that have come up. You've got Mannheim, Zurich, Bern, Vienna. Let's go to Vienna. That'd be great fun.
I would love to go to Vienna.
Yeah, it's just places which you'd never think to go to on holiday or for whatever reason, and you get an excuse to go there and watch your team. So that's always good. I meant to ask, what are the chances of us going to Nottingham as equal as they are to another place?
It's not possible.
That's the way it's been set, is it?
We're both bottom seeds anyway, but even if, so I think there's four pots, so you get drawn out. But even if a team gets drawn against a team in their own country, they get put into the next group. A bit like the Football Champions League in that you can't have two teams from the same country in a group of four.
Makes sense.
It would have made it a lot cheaper to have had one in Nottingham and then just two foreign trips.
Yeah, but they'd have doubled it up and counted as a league fixture as well.
And a Challenge Cup. It would have been a first triple fixture. we're going to the Champions League. And do you know why we're going there, Sean?
Is it because we won the league?
It's because we won the league, yeah. we're running. We talk about winning the league, so I don't care how long we run. But I do think we had some Rahmites. And maybe even a burning question for the first time in a long time.
We did. Rahmite, we had Jonathan Grimes. His hate was knowing that the party will end but can continue tomorrow. He sent us that on Saturday night. Thank you for that, Jonathan. Johnny Smither said, being able to actually enjoy the remaining games of the season is my love, but realising the hockey season is nearly over is my hate. We had one or two more just going up. Liam Padgett said, hate that Sean Phillips didn't agree to another tattoo, but he loved that I also didn't disagree to another tattoo, in addition to the one that I already have. Just looking at another one here. We had a tweet from Greg Hughes who said, trophy Saturday or Sunday night, who cares? It's ours either way. Haley said, love to Andrew Lord taking off his jersey to display his My Turn t-shirt when he collected the cup. What a hero. And we had two burning questions, actually.
Oh.
And I'm going to fire it over to Aaron first. Okay, the first one is from Haley at Soles84. And she said, which player would you like to see re-sign first for next season?
Really? You're going to ask me, the one who's been going on about a certain player since the beginning of the season, and you're going to ask me? Really?
Well, that's what I thought I'd ask you, because then it gives us a little bit more time to think.
Although I'd like to be honest, if he gets any kind of production that he has over from now till Christmas, like from Christmas till now, next season, I'll take Lane Armour back all day, every day, because he is, although we all know he's my favourite, blah, 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 he is that one guy that finds himself in the right position in front of that net just to tap the puck in. He works hard along the boards. He creates turnovers. He's quite skillful. His work rate since Christmas has been fantastic. There's not a lot of bad things you can say about him. If only he could have been this productive all season, you know, we could have won it before Christmas, but.
Where's the fun in that?
Exactly. And Paul?
It's, with this year, it's such a difficult one. For years and years, this was the easiest question in the world to answer as a Devils fan. It was Mark Richardson. And it's hard not to see him, but all the Brit, but Mark Richardson.
Brits go without saying.
That makes it slightly easier because I think it's down to two. It's Joey Martin from, I was thinking Joey Martin or Andrew Hotham because they've both been phenomenal this season. But I think I'm going to say Joey, your dad. I think he's a guy that, you know, we talk about Andrew Lord, and I'm excluding Andrew Lord because we know he's here. Joey, dad's a guy that gets it. Sorry, Aaron.
Can we pick five?
No. I have one, and you've had your one, and my one is Joey, your dad. You know, just guess what it is to be double. He loves the city. He seems to love, he loves the club. He talks passionately about, you know, the way he feels about the fans, that he loves the fans, and all players do it, but it just seems so genuine with him. He seems like a great team guy, and he has had a career season. He has been out of his skin this year. And, you know, whilst you have got guys like Andrew Hotham, Joey Martin, who potentially win you more games, you know, on the scoreboard, I think Joey Adad has been one of the real heartbeats of the team this year. And yeah, there's so many that I do want back, but it'd be Joey Adad top of the list for me. And Sean, you've bought yourself plenty of time to think about this one.
Everything you said about Joey Adad, I completely agree with. Would he be the first person I'd re-sign? Yeah, because I think he's the one who will probably get the most interest based on the year he's had. He's been absolutely unbelievable. My first, originally, and I, your first pick was what I was going to go with, but then I think that, I feel like that's, I don't know. I feel like the way that Haddad has just played this year and got under the team's skin, he's been more noticeable in that he's really, really got on the nerves and played as well as he has. And players, opposing players, absolutely hate to play against him because of the, he's a big body, he plays hard, and I would not want to go into a puck battle in the water with Joey Haddad. And like you said, best year of his career, I think, and he's just got Cardiff Devil and written all over him, and he's got captain written all over him as well. If you know, whatever happens going down the stretch, if Jake Morissette is here for years to come, great. Couldn't ask for a more professional captain. But Joey Adad is next in line for me if that doesn't happen.
Yes, yeah, couldn't agree more with that. Before we go on to the other burning question, I just remembered I got asked one in the great game by regular listener Jason Manley, who asked if we should get a gift for Paul Thompson for winning us the league this season, this weekend, with his win in Belfast and loss in Sheffield on Saturday. So anyone fancy getting him a gift?
I'll get him a couple of boxes of tissues ready for next year.
Get him a book of excuses. Maybe what we could do as a league is allow, this sounds crazy, but allow someone from Sheffield to be at the fixtures meeting, so that they can have a say in their schedule, because listening to Paul Thompson,
wow,
people just choose like Sheffield fixtures for them, and they have such a hard time with it. But they obviously don't have representation there. So representation at this next season's fixtures meeting for Sheffield is my gift to Paul Thompson.
You're far too kind. Far too kind.
What was the other burning question we had on
Twitter? The other burning question is... are going to be a really difficult... We thought the last one was difficult. I think this one's going to be even more difficult. And that's what area of the team needs strengthening. And that came from Greg Hewish. Paul, you first this time.
Cheers. I'm glad you gave Aaron the last one first. it is almost impossible to say in that the team, as, you know, as we said, we've got depth this year. You know, we're not the best league in the world, obviously. It is possible to upgrade every single one of our players. There is a better version of every one of them somewhere. Whether you find them or not, and you take the gamble on it is another matter. In terms of performance, it's just really difficult to say what you would look at. Potentially that, I was going to say that one guy like Joey Martin last year who leads the point charts and runs away with it, but I almost think that's more of a problem sometimes if you have that, because you've got a player that you can target. And this year, I don't think we've ever, even when we've had players struggling for form, we've never just had one line doing the damage. We've always had at least two. And you know, that's been three and four the last few weeks, luckily. Obviously, we'll strengthen in the off season. There will be players in, players out, and every player that goes will look to improve on. But in terms of performance, I really would struggle to say on which area of the team I'd want to see strengthening, especially as a priority, because I don't think there's an area of us that's weaker than any of the other areas. I think we have got that depth this year. I'm not sure. You always get to go last because you read these out. So,
it is really hard to say. I would say maybe that you look at picking up your fourth line, adding another younger body to it, but you don't know what's going to happen with the league next year, with the inclusion of Guildford and Milton Keynes, whether the rules are going to change. So I don't think it's fair to say something like that, based on the fact we haven't had any confirmation. So, it's really, really difficult to say. Where have we lacked this year? Where have we lacked? We haven't lacked scorers in clutch situations. We haven't lacked a solid defence. I personally don't think we've lacked toughness. I think we've been exceptionally gritty, which is where I think toughness comes in its finest rather than fights. I do think, although our team toughness has been very, very good as a rule, the one thing that I would maybe say that we need to improve on is how our management of protecting certain players, because what happened last week to Ben Bounds in Sheffield was an absolute travesty. Based on it may have been an accident, but for no one to pay for it on the night was quite disappointing. So maybe a little something like that. And obviously this team has stuck together through everything. That's why they won the league title. But I would have liked to have seen a reaction to that. And although it may be stupid and get yourself in the penalty box, I think it's important to send a message like that. And our discipline's been good all year as well. I think it's been up there with our best. I can't even think of how many suspensions we've had this year. I know Andrew Hotham had a couple. Patrick Bordelow had one. But for that, I can't think of any others.
And Aaron, do you have any suggestions?
pardon me. This one's going to be a little bit different and a little bit
controversial.
Because you know, we've got those clutch guys, and like you've said, this weekend we had 12 goal scorers, 11 goal scorers out of 12 goals. But I feel like we could, if I could pick one key thing to improve on, is an out and out goal scorer, someone who will just score unreal amounts of goals. You know, like you know, we've got the playmakers, we've got the Bentivoglios, the Joey Martins, some Lane Elmers, list goes on and on and on of playmakers. If we had a Doucette player who is absolutely consistent week in, week out. You know, we've seen it with Deuce at the beginning of the year. After he had that drought, he scored something like 10 goals in 11 games. You know, if we can get a player like that, but that can play at that level and score that many goals continuously through the season, I think that is where we could improve on. Just for the pure fact that some games, you know, they were quite close. So if we had that clutch goal scoring player, you know, push us over that line, and we maybe next season we don't go take it so many games to overtime, and we win in regulation because we've got that clutch goal scorer who can fire the puck into that net.
Yeah, that's not a crazy suggestion. Which, to be honest, whenever you make a suggestion, it is always a relief when it's not crazy or anything. So.
I just thought you might hate me because we've got so many actual quality goal scorers this year, and I just think that is one area this year I think at points throughout the season we've lacked a little bit. And
I think do you think that could have been Lainoma though? If you look at his goal tally,
if he had settled sooner.
That's the thing. See, like I said, I'd love to, like when you asked me the question about who do we bring back next year, if Lainoma was 5 years younger, I'd take him all day, every day. But, you know, his age plays a factor. He's not, he ain't going to be as fast as he was, you know.
Yeah, 100%. But, you know, we've almost had it for the second half of the season, I guess. And the second half of the season has been our strongest. So, yeah, I guess it is a good point. And I looked at it from the point of view that maybe it makes you a bit too easy to shut down, but as long as you've got those secondary players there, it still works. You know, you can shut down a player, but if you had that on top of what we've had this season, well, you can shut that down, but you've still got everything we've done this year, which was win the league with three games to spare. So, yeah, that's definitely an area that would be nice. Would be very nice. Was that all of our internet correspondence, Sean?
I believe that was everything.
That's good, because these questions are getting increasingly difficult. So I wouldn't want to see what you'd save till last if there was another. We won the league.
Did we?
Yeah, we might have mentioned it once or twice. I've got to be at this stage of the podcast, looking at how long we've gone, I'm pretty sure there's only Devils fans who've made it this far. I don't know if we get many non-Devils fans listening. But yeah, we did win the league, guys. It's been done, and I do think we should probably stop just saying that on repeat now and probably finish the podcast.
I think that's probably a good note to end on, is just
that we won the league. It's the note we started on as well, so you could have just called it quits well over an hour ago and saved, it's not a bother for us, it's bother for you guys listening. Thank you again though for listening, it is massively appreciated. And we've had quite a lot of feedback. Our listener numbers have been up the last few weeks. So thank you to all our new listeners. Thank you to you guys who are giving us the feedback for our burning questions, for our Rahmite suggestions. Keep sending it all. Keep letting us know what you think. We massively appreciate it. It does. It means a lot when people come up to you or tweet us to say that they've enjoyed the show. So thank you everyone who's done that over the last few weeks. It has genuinely been a pleasure to record this as Elite League champions. That is your Red Army Rounder.